So divine providence is a subject that we have been going through and very slowly and methodically working through and probably adjusting our perspective and our view of the way God provides and how he provides. And more importantly, not only is he divinely providing for us, but he also wants us to become his divine providence to this world. And to do that, we have come to the conclusion that the Word and the Spirit is the divine providence of God that is within us, working in us, also helping us to grow, also maturing us, also developing us, teaching us, so that we can see the divine providence of God in our own lives and also become divine providence to those that are around us. In our initial sessions, we journeyed with the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and we showed how they went through the Red Sea and then came through the wilderness, and eventually they came to the place of crossing over under the leadership of Joshua, and that's where we have been focused on in the last 3 weeks. But I said to you how the promised land was a land that was that had to be possessed, and how God said to them, "Your days will be prolonged." So we spoke about longevity. The promised land was a promise to the fathers, so it was about legacy. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a land of prosperity. It was a land of hills and valleys, a land of opportunity, a land that drinks water from the rain of heaven. This is the blessing of God. It's a land that God cares about, and therefore God has a responsibility to this land. It is a land where the eyes of the Lord are on it continually. This is security that God watches over this land. And it's a land that receives rain in season, which means that it is sustained, or there is sustainability within this land. So, the difference between in the wilderness and what is known as the promised land was a place called Jordan. You had to cross the Jordan to get into the promised land, a place of transition and a place where the eternal and divine purpose of God gets revealed. So I want to go back to Joshua chapter 3 and finish up some of the things we have been sharing. And from Joshua chapter 3, we shared initially how the people had to leave a place called Kea Grove, which was situated in Moab. And we said how Moab was a place of fatherlessness. So the first transition we need to make is to shift from being fatherless and see ourselves as the sons of God and see God as our father. Then we said how a Kea Grove also means to carry, and we carry many weights in this world. The weight of provision is one of the biggest weights that we carry, the need to provide for ourselves, to take care of ourselves, and how Jesus said to his disciples when he sent them out in Luke chapter 10, he said, "I send you out as lambs among wolves," and this is also a picture of us being sent into a system of the world that is controlled by a pack of wolves. And he said to them, "Do not carry a money bag." And this was reference to our financial affairs. He also said, "Do not carry a knapsack." This was reference to the garments that we wear. "Do not carry a sandals." This is reference how we walk in peace with all men. And we are peacemakers. "Do not greet anyone along the road," which is how we get distracted by our culture and our practices. And in Oriental culture, greeting people was a major thing. And then in Joshua 3, we focused on how when the priests were going to carry the ark, Joshua said to the people, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, bearing it, you shall set out from your place and go after it." And we spoke about pursuing the presence of God. And then we started to talk about how Joshua told the priests to carry the ark and to go before the people. And remember that the nation of Israel was called a kingdom of priests, but now we are also the royal priesthood. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we carrying? And we started to look at David, who was a picture of the corporate church that needs to enact Davidic principles. The Bible says in the book of Acts 15 that God is restoring the tabernacle of David. This is not just about David as a man, but this is the church that lives with Zion principles. So we said that David, in his own life, had some very unique qualities, and this is because the Spirit of the Lord rested on David. So in 1 Samuel 16 verse 13, when Samuel anointed David, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And we began to understand in our own lives that the divine providence of God is his Holy Spirit that indwells us, that God is present with us. Then we said how he came from the house of Jesse. He was the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And as the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, the word Bethlehem means the house of bread, we also carry the doctrine of our fathers in the faith. Now, these two things, the word and the spirit, is the divine providence of God for us to engage in this world. And then you see the other characteristics, which are the more practical aspects that we have focused on. We said that he was skillful. He was a mighty man of valor. And in the last week, we spoke about his skillfulness, and we spoke about the fact that he was a mighty man of valor. So what do we carry? We carry the Spirit of God. What do we carry? We carry the doctrine of our Father, which is the Word of God. We have skills that God has given us, whether it's acquired skill, natural skill, learned skills. These skills is what we carry. We also are called a mighty man of valor, and this is about boldness, this is about courage, and that's what we spoke about last week, that you need to have boldness and courage. And when the Spirit of God came upon the apostles, they had great boldness, and we gave you many examples of that. And we finished off with that he was also a man of war. And as a man of war, he was a strategist. He knew how to handle the Philistines. And Jesus understood the need for us to be strategists. That's why he said that you go out as be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves, because the world that we are engaging in, there is always the war of the flesh and the war of the spirit. There is also religious wars that we are facing now, political wars that we are facing now, economic wars that are being faced, climate change wars that are being faced, the war for water, which is a global problem. All of these are different wars. They are not wars as we normally know them, with armored tanks and guns. And while those civil wars are still continuing in many, many countries, but you and I are now the corporate man. And we have within us the Spirit of the Lord, the Word of the Lord. We have skill. We have valor. And we also are a man of war. Man of war is no longer a single man. It is not an individual. The man of war is now a corporate man. And we have to be very wise in the way we engage the battles that we are facing. We also have to be wise to know what battles not to engage in. A good man knows how to pick his battles. And therefore, as the church, we should know what battles we must engage in and what battles are not for us. The battle is the Lord's, but the Lord always gives us strategy, as he did for Jehoshaphat when he faced the Midianites, as he did for Gideon when he faced the Midianites, and many other battles that you see in the Bible that require strategy. So the war that we face in this world requires us to be very, very good strategists of how we handle these battles. So I want to move on to today's session in terms of what do we carry. 1 Samuel 16 verse 18, then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful, in playing a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech. So the next quality or characteristic in David is that he was prudent in speech. Now, when I'm talking about David, don't think about David as the individual. You need to think about David in a corporate sense, that the church is Zion, and David was the one that brought the Ark of the Covenant to Zion, and he ruled from Zion. So when we say David, remember Jesus is called the Son of David. He is born in the city of David. He ruled from the throne of David. So we're talking about the corporate Christ, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And as that church, there's a divine providence that we have within us, which is the spirit, the word, the skill, the valor, the strategy. And we also have to be prudent in speech, prudent in speech. Now, the word prudent has multi layers of meaning. And just to summarize, when we say prudent in the Hebrew language, which is the word B-I-Y-N, bayin, it means the ability to mentally separate, to have discretion, to have understanding, to have discernment, and also to perceive. That's why I say it has multiple layers of meanings. But it's a very important word in terms of the way we need to understand how we react to circumstances and how we view circumstances, and also what we say about circumstances. Because here, the thing that David had was to be prudent in speech. And often people talk without thinking, and they have no discernment when they speak because they are unable to mentally separate good from bad. They are unable to sometimes reason and have discretion that whatever they say is going to have a direct impact on several people. Now, we carry the understanding of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, which is called also the spirit of counsel and understanding and knowledge, and the spirit of wisdom, so that we can also advise on specific matters. So Genesis 41:33, we all know the story of Joseph. And I'll just read this verse. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh. Now, Joseph is firstly interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh, and then he's giving him advice as to how to manage what is going to be a famine that is going to affect the whole world. So in Genesis 41, verse 33, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man. The word discerning there is the word prudent. It is the same Hebrew word. Let him select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. So what Egypt needs is a discerning and wise man. What the world needs in order to solve some of its very complicated problems is a discerning and wise man. Genesis 41, verse 37, Pharaoh now responds. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. So obviously, Joseph was giving advice and Pharaoh is responding together with all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, he said, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, remember, Joseph was advising Pharaoh and all his servants. And the response from Pharaoh and his servants was, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, there's the divine providence of God. The Spirit of God was in Joseph to give wise advice and counsel. You see, divine providence is also when we receive counsel, when we receive wise counsel, and also when we receive knowledge and understanding regarding certain matters. And this is God's divine providence to us The spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of knowledge that is able to make us discerning and be prudent and perceive and separate between what is good and what is evil, so that we respond accurately. And in verse 39 of Genesis 41, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, listen to these words, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. So you shall, listen what he says, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled, yes, according to your word. According to your word. Now, the characteristic of David was prudent in speech. Prudent in speech, which means that Joseph, by the Spirit of the Lord, could give advice and counsel, and his word ruled Egypt. It says, only in regard to the throne, Pharaoh said, will I be greater than you. In regards to the throne of Egypt. But the words that Joseph would speak ruled the land, because they understood that he was a discerning and wise man. But where did it come from? It comes from the divine providence of the Spirit of God in us. I shared with you, and I keep repeating this verse because it seems to be deep in my heart, from Isaiah 33 verse 6, that the stability of your times is wisdom and knowledge. The stability of your times is wisdom and knowledge, and it is also the strength of your salvation. The word strength there means wealth and riches. The wealth of your salvation, your deliverance. The word salvation is very, very huge in its meaning. It also means prosperity. It is dependent on wisdom and knowledge to bring stability in our times. We are living in very uncertain times, in times that are very anxious, in times that are very terrifying. But the stability of our time is to be wise and discerning. And here Joseph was wise and discerning, because whatever he would say would rule all of Egypt. Now, why was Joseph ruling? Why did he have dominion? Why did he have such authority? Why did he have such power? Why did he have such a rule over the entire of Egypt? Because he was a prudent man. Because he had discernment. Because he had the Spirit of God in him to give wise counsel. He was carrying the Spirit of God, and he ruled Egypt. So our speech must be one of wise counsel to the world. Our speech must be not one of condemnation and complaints and murmuring. We have the Holy Spirit in us that will teach us what to say, that will teach us what to do, because of the divine providence of God in our lives. So when we are wise and prudent, it is God's divine providence to others. When we are discerning and we speak words of wisdom, those words become a covering to others. They become a place of refuge for others. It becomes a place of safety for others. Because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And as one of those counselors of the Lord, where we are discerning with our words and we speak words of wisdom and words of prudency, then we become a covering to others. So I just want to focus on that for a minute, in terms of how do we become a covering for others with our words. And some of you will know of a message that I shared about covering. And I want to turn your attention to the book of Hosea for a minute, and just highlight something in terms of the prudent and the wise, and how they provide covering. Now, in Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 down, through the prophet Hosea, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he says to the nation of Israel, return to the Lord. So Hosea 14:1 says, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all our iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer sacrifices of our lips. Verse 3 says, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more, the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you, the fatherless finds mercy. Now, I want us to take these three verses and apply it in our context, in our time, in this aeon, this period of time. During this pandemic that we have been facing, which is called the coronavirus outbreak that has been taking over the whole world, we as the church, who are used to gatherings and fellowship and listening to the word and all the stuff that goes with church, all of that was removed because the emphasis from the Lord, and I want you to listen to my heart and my spirit as I speak to you, that the emphasis from the Lord was return to the Lord. The emphasis, from the Lord was take away our iniquity, Lord, be gracious to us. The emphasis from the Lord was that Assyria cannot save us, nor will we ride on horses, and horse and the chariot are the symbols of Egyptian warfare. And so often our trust was in the systems of this world. Sorry. Our trust was in man-made systems that just came to an absolute halt. Economics were challenged, our finances were challenged, the way we're going to provide for us our challenge. Our faith was deeply challenged. That is why when Hosea is prophesying, he says, nor will we say anymore, the work of our hands, you are our gods. And how often have we taken our work, the work of our hands, our skills, our businesses, whatever our hands touch to provide for us, we made it gods. We idolized it. We worshipped it. For me as a pastor, ministry can become our God because we look at it as our provision. People can become our gods because they tie to us and they give us offerings and all of that. You can so easily let the work of your hands become your God. But in the midst of all that, God was asking, for a return to him. For in you, the fatherless finds mercy. Basically, the emphasis was return to the God, to the Lord as your father. Come to him as a son. Don't let yourself be controlled by these worldly systems. Put your trust in God as your father. Don't let the work of your hands become your gods. And I urge you again, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I urge you by the Spirit of the Lord. Do not let your trust be put only in the systems of this world. God is asking you to return to him as a father, to take away our iniquity. We plead with God to be gracious and merciful to us. Many of us have been sick. Many of us have been through some trying times. Some of us have lost our jobs. Some of us have lost business. We've been through difficult challenges. Oh, but I thank God that we have seen the grace of God. We have seen people being healed. We have seen God rescue us. I've seen people receive promotions and people get double what they normally earn and get new contracts. I've seen the hand of God. Don't let the work of your hands become God. It is God who is gracious to us. Don't forget that. Now, in returning to the Lord, as Hosea is crying out to the nation of Israel and saying to them, return to the Lord, God says in Verse 4, he says, I will heal their backsliding and I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. This is what God says in verse 5. I will be like the dew to Israel. So God says, I will be like the dew to Israel. And the dew is an example of mist that covers the earth. God covers the whole earth with dew. The dew is a metaphor of the proceeding word of God that covers the earth. Just like in Exodus chapter 16, when the manna fell, it looked like dew all around because it covered the whole earth. The Bible says in Exodus 16, 14, and when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the earth was a small round substance as fine as frost. And they said, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. I want you to know in these challenging times, you must stay under the dew of God's word. It is the word that covers you. This is why it is so important to tune into the sessions and listen to the word. Because the word falls like dew that is fresh from heaven, that is able to cover us. So God is saying to the nation of Israel, I will be like the dew to Israel. I will cover them. Now, I want you to follow very carefully as we're examining this text. Remember that this is a prophetic word to Israel in their time. But it is also a prophetic word because the word is proceeding. It is applicable to any aeon of time. Because the word is powerful in terms of its interpretation. The word is living and the word is powerful. It can be interpreted in our time. So it's like me being Hosea speaking to you in our time, telling you that God is saying, return to the Lord. Come with the sacrifice of praise. And God says, I will heal your backsliding. I will love you. I will turn my anger away from you. And I will be like the dew to Israel. I will be the covering to you. I will cover you with my word. Now, what will be the result of that? It says, he shall grow like the lily. You must understand the difference between when we're using the word he and him and him and her and he. It is referenced now not to he shall grow, is he shall grow is reference to Israel. Israel shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. So what is happening here is when the dew falls on Israel, the word that covers us, it causes Israel to grow like the lily. That is called extensive growth. Tell your neighbor, extensive growth. And he shall lengthen his roots like Lebanon. That is intensive growth. You see, one of the emphasis now is to be established in your faith. Not to be moved by circumstances and all the things that are happening. The time now is to be extensive and intensive. To grow in your faith and be established in your faith. And that happens because the dew falls like heaven. The dew, which is the word of God, is divine providence. To cover you so that you will grow extensively and intensively. You will mature and you will be stable. So in verse number, in Hosea 14, verse number 6, it says, his branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Now, the lily grows up, the roots of the tree grow down, and the branches of the tree grow wide. This is expansive growth. So we grow extensively, intensively, expansively. And the branches spreading horizontally or widely is Christ the vine And we are the branches, as you know. And the Bible says Joseph is like a branch that grows upon the wall. Genesis 49, verse 22. Christ is our branch of righteousness. But growing expansively is determined by staying connected to the vine. So this picture of extensive, intensive, and expansive growth is the cross. And the cross is self-denial. The cross is dying to yourself. Verse 7. Those who dwell under his shadow. Now, the dew that comes from God covers us. And we grow extensively, intensively, expansively, or the word causes us to die to ourselves. When that happens, people dwell under the shadow of Israel. Now, who is Israel now? Israel is the church. And it says in verse 7, those who dwell under his shadow shall return. His shadow is not God's shadow. It's we, the church, that now provide the covering. Because we grow extensively, intensively, and expansively, we now become a representation of the finished work of Christ on the cross. When we do that, people come under our shadow. I'll tell you why. Because you become the divine providence of God. And this is what happens to them. They shall be revived like grain. They shall grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. My God, this is so powerful. When we live with the finished work of the cross in us, those that come under our covering, they get revived. They get refreshed. They start growing. They begin to get the scent like the wine of Lebanon. That means they have a scent of an aroma that takes place. That's why Paul writes, he says, to some we are the aroma of God, to others we are death. So this shadow is a picture of corporate anointing that becomes divine provision for others. But here's the key thing. When you go to verse 9 of Hebrews 14, Hosea 14, verse number 9, it says, who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors shall stumble in them. It is only the wise and the prudent that understand how to stay under the dew of God, so that they can become a covering for others. When we are wise and prudent, we carry the ability to provide covering for others. And you know how you do that? It's prudency in speech. Listen, there's many of you I have not seen for more than a year. I have not laid my hands on you. I've not seen you face to face. I've just seen you maybe on video, or maybe I've phoned you and spoken to you. But how are we covering you? We are covering you with dew, which is the word of God being spoken to you through a digital platform. And the word is able to fall on you like dew to provide covering for others. How does that happen? It's prudency in speech. We have to be wise and discerning with matters of speech, where we allow the word to be spoken over others and they receive counsel and it covers them. It protects them. This is divine providence coming from God. I hope your eyes are being peeled back to understand the way God provides for us, how he provides for us. He provides for us when the dew comes and falls, and when we come under that dew, we grow extensively, intensively, expansively. And by doing that, we also become a covering for those that will come under our shadow. But it takes, as the Bible says, the wise and the prudent to understand these things, to know the way God covers. Now, prudency in speech must not be elevated to such a high level that it has no praxis in our lives. Start with your marriage. Let your words cover your spouse. Don't let your words betray them. Don't let your words betray the covenant that you have. Start with the basics. Cover your children with your words. Prudency in speech, the way you speak. Divinely provide for your family by your words. Because death and life is in the power of your tongue. Whatever you speak, you will have. So, the way we manage circumstances, crises, is dependent upon prudency in speech. And this is something we carry. It's part of you. It's part of who you are. It's the way you are wired. It's the way we are made up. The way we handle situations are different from everyone else. That's why we have the power to rebuke, to reprove, to instruct, to command. It's words. Don't let your words fall to the ground. As Samuel said, none of his words will fall to the ground. Whenever he spoke, everything came to pass. So the judiciary of God in terms of matters is determined by the prudency of our words, the way we speak over matters. Craft an environment in your home of prudency in speech. Because it's divine providence. I tell you that if you are prudent in your speech, it's the divine providence of God. Every time I have to share the word on whichever platform it is, I know that it is the divine providence of God. It's dew that comes into the life of people. It covers them. And when they come under that word, something begins to happen inside of them. They mature. They expand, they start to live out the word, they start to live more like Christ because Christ is the word. And when they do that, they become a covering to others. I pray this morning that you would begin to see and analyze and work out in this time with great prudency and discernment about what God is emphasizing to us as the church. Not the church Hill of Blessing, but the church, the body of Christ in general, all over the world, that we need to return to the Lord. We need to ask God for His grace to remove iniquity. We need to live under the dew of God because God said, I will pour my dew upon them. And we must mature. We must be established. We must expand so that others can partake of the fruit of our branches. And when we do that, we become God's divine providence. I have much more to say to you, but our time has just run away this morning. But I feel deep within my heart that this was an emphasis from the Lord. Know that divine providence is available to us. And as we live under the dew of God's word, we will also become covering to others. May the Lord bless you. May He strengthen you. May His grace be sufficient for each one of us. Amen.